Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. Considering what I wanted to preach about today, I thought it would be good first to share a story from the pilgrimage that I was just on. I don't tend to talk about those much, but this is an important thing for you to hear. I asked the pilgrim if I could share her story, and she never responded to the text. So now I'm going to do it. So you see, this is the first lesson, is respond to texts. All right, just so you hear that. All right. So it was a hard pilgrimage, beautiful, but hard. And this pilgrim had some concerns before we left that she would not be able to physically do the pilgrimage. And I said those concerns are valid, because if you haven't ever made a pilgrimage, especially with me before, it's a lot more physically demanding than you might expect. And in this case, it seems that heaven conspired to make it even more physically demanding altogether. But just to say this, she was concerned because, like me, she has chronic illness, but in her case, it's chronic pain, sometimes debilitating chronic pain. And she needs regular food, regular sleep, low stress. None of those happen on pilgrimage. But we were coming from all over the United States, and five of us were flying out of Houston to Philadelphia, then Philadelphia to Milan. And as we're waiting for the plane in Houston, it gets delayed 15 minutes, then 20 minutes, then 30 minutes, and then it gets canceled. They said, the plane is broken. We're kind of surprised it even landed, so you can't fly on that plane. So the flight is canceled to Philadelphia. And I said, well, that's not going to work, because I have other pilgrims who are arriving in Milan. I'm the pilgrim leader. They have nobody over there to tell them what to do. And they said, well, we can get you there in 2 days, 2 days late. And I'm like, not good enough. And so they found another airline that got us there. They took us to London first, and because we had to have an all-day layover in London, which, you know, I wasn't complaining about, I said, let's do a pilgrimage of London. But again, it's me. So I just walked through half of London in our little layover when we were sleep-deprived and didn't have our luggage. We didn't get our luggage for the entire first week of the pilgrimage, by the way. She's like, broke down. She was very upset with me. She's like, you can't push me this hard. Like, I'm in so much pain. And I'm like, well, you tell me something. Right? But we get to Milan, like, in 1 a.m. after we reported our luggage, we got to the hotel, and then we had to leave the next morning at 7, or later that morning at 7. So she was in a really rough place, flaring up, upset. She was so upset that in London, she called her husband and said, I'm coming home, and tried to purchase a plane ticket to come home. And he said, don't you dare. Like, you have to stay. So she was not in a good place. And the first major pilgrimage site that we went to was the Basilica of St. Ambrose. Can anybody guess who's buried in the Basilica of St. Ambrose? Look at y'all, you're very bright this morning. Okay. This is St. Ambrose. St. Ambrose in Milan, who's a great saint and doctor of the church. However, there are other saints buried in his basilica, not least of which, because this is really cool, because this happens sometimes in history, his younger brother and his older sister, who were both saints as well. And his younger brother is Satyrus. And we don't know a whole lot about Satyrus. He's a saint. He helped administer the Archdiocese of Milan. He was a lawyer. He was a layman. And of course, me, I'm thinking, in the Basilica of St. Ambrose, who are we there to see primarily? St. Ambrose. See, y'all can get a little snappier on that if you want. It's pretty obvious every time I ask the question. But if you've never done this, in these big churches, St. Ambrose is under the big altar. You go underground, it's under the big altar. And these other saints, you see where the windows are, like in the church there? They have little side chapels, and the other saints are in side chapels under the altar. And where the window is, there's a grate. Okay, so you can't really get into the side chapel a lot of times. You can just look through the grate, through the fence, and see the saint. So we go to St. Satyrus first, and I say some things about St. Satyrus, and we pray for like 3 minutes, and then we move on to the next saint. At least most of us did. Because as we were moving on, Satyrus spoke to her and said, come back. And she said, what? No. He said, come back. And she said, no, I'm imagining this. And poor Saint Satyrus, I can imagine this. And he was, come back. So she left the group and she went back to him. And he told her, put your hand on the fence. She said, no, that's stupid. I know Father Sunset said that counts just as much, but it doesn't make any sense and it's stupid. I'm not going to do it. At which point, says Satyrus, and went, okay, put your hand on the fence. She put her hand on the fence. Obviously, I'm telling you, she told us this. She put her hand on the fence, and she felt a lightning bolt go through her entire body, and her pain disappeared. And it stayed gone for the entire pilgrimage, no matter how hard we pushed her. Dear brothers and sisters, the saints are alive. They're still at work. They still influence our spiritual lives. And they still work lots of miracles. You just don't hear about them because people will think, you'll think they're crazy if they tell you. They all tell me, and so you just think I'm crazy. But the reality is, right? This happens a lot, and it happens, yeah, it happens a lot more on pilgrimage, certainly, but it happens a lot. We read today in the second reading, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And the letter to the Hebrews says that after spending all of chapter 11 detailing all the saints of the Old Testament. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And as we focus on the spiritual life this year in our church, I wanted to spend today talking about the role the saints play in our spiritual life. Because I talk about them a lot. But it's because they're important. And that's a major change in my life. When I was in seminary, I thought the saints were overrated. We talked about them too much. I got annoyed whenever the priest would preach about the saint. So, like everything else, I would be annoyed with myself now whenever I was in seminary. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What exactly do the saints do for us in the spiritual life? Well, Saint Bonaventure gives a magnificent answer. It's almost too simple. It's almost too simple, but it's dead on. He said the saints do two things. By their prayers, they bring grace down from heaven to us. And by their example, they inspire us on earth to journey toward heaven. So they serve as both your GPS and your car. Okay? They will tell you where to go and they give you the boom to get there. And we see an image of that today in the first reading. Not that I don't know if Abed-Melech was a saint, but it's a beautiful image, I thought, of Jeremiah, poor Jeremiah, being thrown into the cistern, which the city was suffering so much, the cistern which holds water was dry. But he's thrown into the mud, and they make that point that he sinks down into the mud, which means he could have suffocated. They weren't entirely sure how deep the mud was, and I don't know if he could ever even lay down. They did this to him because he dared to prophesy the word of God, and the king allowed it to happen. Now, at that point, the king is not an image of Jesus, but this next part is very, I think, clear. Abed-Melech sees Jeremiah's plight and doesn't do anything himself about it at first. He reports it to the king. He intercedes. You understand? He intercedes for Jeremiah. And then the king gives his authority to Abed-Melech to go save Jeremiah. So the king is always involved in this. But Abed-Melech played a pretty big role too. He interceded, and then having received the authority, he went and carried it out. And that's very much what the saints do. In the second reading where we say, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. See, the Bible is not dumb like we are. For some reason, we always think that if you're focused on a saint, that's in competition with Jesus. It literally says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that I just talked about, and that's why our eyes are kept fixed on Jesus. Because that's how it works. That's like saying you're playing basketball, and do you focus on your teammates or do you focus on victory? Yes. You can't win without your team, right? They help us get there, so they intercede for us. But then the second thing is, again, there are examples. There are examples. When I was in Eunice, I was friends with the first Baptist pastor in Eunice. He was a great guy. And I invited him and his wife over to my house for dinner one night, which was intriguing. He liked me, but he wasn't a huge fan of the Catholic Church. And of course, he came into my house and saw graven images of the Lord and the saints everywhere. And he was like, you know, I was like, do you want a beer? But anyway, you know, First Baptist, that's funny. And he asked me, and you know, he's very open to discussing. He asked me, he said, what role do the saints play in your preaching? I had never really thought about it before because I just did it kind of automatically by that point in my life. But I said to him, you know, as preachers, we preach the gospel. And the thing about the gospel is that when we're preaching the gospel, it can sound rather abstract. Love your neighbor, love God, be faithful. These are abstract things. The saints give us an example of it concretely. They show us what those abstract values look like in real life. And to you, I would say, that's a big deal, because if you describe the Cajun accent abstractly, and then you go watch a Hollywood movie, and you're like, nah, that ain't it. But if you talk to somebody from Delcam, you're like, oh, there it is. Okay, so the reality, right? The reality is that when we see things concretely, when we see living examples of something, it snaps into our mind in a way that it wouldn't otherwise. So not only do they intercede for us, they inspire us. They're examples to us. And yes, crazy as it may seem to you, they befriend us. Talk to us sometimes even. Jesus said in the gospel today that he has come to bring not peace but the sword, division. He will divide a father against his son, and a son against his father, and a mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And I'm not gonna like look at anybody right now, but I saw somebody made a face on that last one, like, mm-hmm. So the reality, dear brothers and sisters, is that the Lord does divide us from people on earth, but he also unites us to people in heaven. The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. As you grow in loving God, you grow in loving your neighbor, and that includes your neighbors in heaven. Yes, you'll be more and more divided from people on earth who don't share your values, but that means you'll also be more and more united to the saints in heaven who do. Who do share your values, who do share your faith, who have suffered, who have triumphed, and they'll befriend you. One of the things that I hear on pilgrimage all the time, and again, everyone thinks they're crazy. Somebody will come in like these very hushed tones and very, you know, kind of anxious. Father, I feel like a saint is stalking me. Like every time I'm in trouble or something, I see a picture of this saint, or somebody talks about this saint, or I hear a homily on this saint. It happens. I mean, it's not weird, but it happens, right? Because it's not just that we seek the saints' friendship, sometimes they seek ours. That's the whole thing we're talking about when we talk about patron saints. We don't just seek them out, they seek us out. And so, dear brothers and sisters, as I mentioned 48 hours ago, for the Feast of the Assumption, as we set Our Lady, who's the greatest of the saints, as we set Our Lady as kind of our pole star, we also set all the saints as people who intercede for us, as people who inspire us and direct us, and as men and women who befriend us. And yes, occasionally even work miracles for us, because that's real and that happens. And this is not me saying this. It is the Word of God itself. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us. God bless you all.